This thought that I have on my heart, I might title it as another generation. Another generation. I believe us that's been around here very long will have to acknowledge that there's another generation around here. There's another generation moving in to the leadership in the church today. There's another generation that's moving in, and I feel myself fading out. I feel my direction. I feel God directing me a different direction. I feel I'm not going to quit, and I'm not going to retire, but I know that I'm not going to be able to hold 60 meetings and 60 nights either. But anyway, I feel that way, that it's time for me to kind of step back a little bit and let this other generation. I've often said, if I live to be old, I don't want to get in the way of the Lord. I don't want to get in the way of the Lord. I don't want to get in the way of my brethren, my younger brethren. I want God to bless them and to use them. And I'm just as willing for them to take right on all of them. I say, Lord, bless them and seek them. Go get them. So, and I pray the Lord will help us. I want to say that this generation that I'm thinking about now, another generation, that we are living, and you've heard this before, but this generation, you, and I'm old enough now, when I'm talking about young people, I mean 50 years old and down. You know, when you get that old, you're getting up there. You know, sometimes we refer to young people as teenagers. But I'm getting up now where somebody 40, say I'm 48. Well, my, that sounds awful young to me. Sounds pretty young to me, 48 does. So when I'm talking about this generation, I'm talking from 50 years old, so to speak, on down. We lost pretty much of a generation. I was just wondering here this morning, I'd like to see this. I wonder how many ministers here are between the age of 50 and 60. I'd like to see your hands. There are two over there. Three. Three minutes. There's another. Are you 50 already? Hey, you don't look at us. But there's four ministers here between the ages 50 and 60. As I go on, I believe you'll understand why I'm thinking that. Because somewhere or another in there, we lost almost a generation of people to the world. It was a time back in the 60s when they came along, the 70s, time of prosperity. A lot of folks were here last night that dropped out of the race, dropped out of the fight, got tangled up in business, got tangled up in prosperity, material things. And they began to get so involved and so entangled that it kept God from using them like He would have liked to use many of them. But now I'm thinking of this generation from 50 years on down. I'd like to also say that I'm very much impressed with our younger, real younger generation. 20 years old, 20 years old on down. I'm very much impressed with that. And that's another generation that's coming on. And so, another generation. And it makes it so, and this is my burden this morning, or my thought, that we, according to the Word of God, and according to history, that you, now, this generation that's coming on right now, and I'm glad there's a number of young ministers here this morning, younger ones, or wives, but you are living in a very dangerous period of time. According to what's happened in the Word of God, and I believe by the help of the Lord that I'll be able to point that out by the help of God, and you'll be able to see the time that we're living in now. Another generation is taking over. I see a few older ones sitting around here, and I want to use them too before I get through. I have a lot on my mind, a lot on my heart. We'll try to condense it down and present it as we feel like the Lord would have us to. But another generation. We want to turn back and talk about Israel first in Judges, the second chapter, starting about the sixth verse. It said, when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. Now I want you to get these thoughts, and I want you to get them in your mind, and I want you to remember them. Because it's very, very important that you get a hold of these things. Because this is a message. And it said, and all the days of the elder that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Now it sounds like as long as Joshua was here. God had told Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. You rise and you go on and lead these people. And so Joshua rose up, and then God told him, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. And so Joshua went on and led the people over into the Canaan land. And therefore it seemed that as long as Joshua was there, that the people, it said, did it not say, the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. They would all had their hearts into it. They were following the Lord. They were keeping His commandments. They were doing His will. And they were being blessed. And God was leading them and fighting their battles for them and working through them and in them and around about them. And all the days of Joshua. And then it said not only that, but it went on to say that Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. So it means, it seems then that after Joshua had passed on, that those who were immediately followers of Joshua, that knew Joshua, that had been under his influence and been under his leadership, it seemed that they carried it off. They carried it off. The elders were immediately under Joshua. And so it seemed that group or that generation that followed Joshua, then they kept the commandments too. And everything went along fine. And everything God was blessing and God was with them. And so it was. But now listen. And in the 10th verse, and also all that generation were gathered unto their father. And there rose another generation after them, after the elders, that knew Joshua. There's another generation, see. There's Joshua's generation. There's the elders that followed that was right immediately under Joshua. And then it said there was another generation that came along. That's the third generation, see. And it came along, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord. For yet the works which he had done in Israel. And it said, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. Let's get this picture now. This is the main thought. That Joshua, they under him, God blessed them. Served him all the days of Joshua. I'm repeating myself. I want you to get a hold of it. They served all the days of Joshua. And all the days of the elder right under Joshua. And then it said there was another generation came along. And this generation then forsook God. They forsook God. They didn't follow the teachings of their father. They didn't follow in the path that Joshua, that Moses, that Joshua had set before them. And the elders right after Joshua. They didn't follow after him, but they forsook God. They forsook God. And then trouble come along. And then Israel got in trouble. And then all the things began to happen. Many problems arose. Many conditions exist. And so it was. It went on that way. And therefore, they forsook God. That next generation, third generation. And so it is. It comes on down to the time of Jesus Christ.
And Jesus Christ, we know that He was faithful. He said, I always do those things that are pleasing in your sight. God was with Him. God anointed Him to preach. And He preached the truth. And He lived for God. And He served the Lord. And He was faithful in all of His house, like in Moses was. And Jesus was that. And then He called His disciples. Another generation came along. Another generation rose up, and God called the disciples, and then many was added to the church. And oh, the morning church was a glorious thing. It was a glorious thing. The mighty powers and workings of God was manifested. And just like Jesus, and He called the disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, freely you have received, freely give. And He said, go, and I'll go with you. And He said that God did go with them. God did go with them. And wonder miracles and mighty working power of the miracles of God. They would bring the sick folks and just lay them beside of the road, that even the shadow of Peter might fall upon them. Another generation came along. And then the apostles and Jesus Christ, oh God, was working with them in mighty working power. Oh, read in the books of Acts of the apostles. See what God was doing with that generation. See how He was working. How He was, the power of God was being manifested. And the church was glorious. And souls were being saved. People were being added to God and being filled with the Holy Ghost and with power. And they were going forth, carrying this thing out, and God working with them in a mighty, mighty way. And so it was. They went forth and carried the truth and carried the gospel, and God was with them, and God was blessing them, and God was working through them, and God was doing mighty things through them. And then there was another generation come along. Those immediate followers of the apostles. Now there's a great movement of people in the world today that say the miracle stops at that time. We don't believe that. We know that's not so. But they claim that healing stopped, miracles stopped, right after those first apostles. And those that the apostles had laid their hands on, they still had the power. And those, not only did the apostles have the power, and not only Jesus working with them, but those that the apostles had laid their hands on, they carried this thing right on. They carried it right on. And so there was another generation. The apostles, and then the ones right after the apostles, still had this power. They still was carrying this on, and miracles and healings and workings of the mighty working power of God was being manifested to those immediate followers after those. And then what happened? After the apostles, the next generation carried it right on. Those that the apostles had prayed for, as they went down there to Samaria and other places, it said they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And they were baptized into the church and into the Holy Ghost and filled with the power of God and many mighty miracle working power of the manifestations of the power of God was being manifested through these apostles. And not only the apostles, but the next generation, the ones the apostles laid their hands on, went out. And they was carrying this thing right on. And history will have to take over right along here somewhere. And by reading history, you'll find that those people that followed right after the apostles carried this thing right on just like they had it. And then what happened? After that, things began to fall into a form. Things began to be turning towards the things of the world. Man began trusting in his own ability. He began trusting in his own self. He began to leave out and receive in the Holy Ghost, become a form. It became a form. In place of getting a real born again, we want to get to that too. But before, in place what those apostles, Jesus, those people were regenerated. They were born into the Spirit of God. They were made new creatures in Christ Jesus. And they were endured with power from on high and filled with the Holy Ghost. and God working through them in a mighty way. And therefore, then those that followed him immediately after that, another generation arose. And like I'm repeating myself, but I want you to get a hold of this morning, because I'm working up to my main thought here a little bit later. And therefore, the generation that followed them went on and perished, had the power, had the glory of the Lord. And then, like I said, things begin to get formal. Things begin to fall into a form. I'm not saying this to be critical or find fault with the church, but I just want to put something out and help us to realize this generation that's taken over the leadership, that's moving, tearing this thing on. I just want to encourage you and show you that you're living in a time that you're going to have to be very, very diligent about this thing. You're going to have to be real about this thing. Because it just seems that this is history. This is truth. This is the Word of God. That it's happened in the past, and it can happen today too. It don't have to happen, but it can. It can. And therefore, after the immediate followers of the apostles, seemed like, as history would bear out, they went off in the scene, and then, like I said, they became a form. In place of people getting a real experience with the Lord, a real baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the real working power of God, they drifted into a form. And we know what happened. We have history on that, don't we? Then we went into the great apostasy. Drifted into the great apostasy. That third generation drifted into a great apostasy. And the world went in darkness. And the two witnesses laid in the street until the time that the evening light would start to shine. And God had a church all the way through. Somebody said God didn't have a church, he took it all up to heaven. I don't believe that. God's always had a church here on this earth. And so, then, he said at evening time, it shall be light. It shall be light. And a lot of us are familiar. And I want to get this real close to you. This is getting down where we're at now. At the evening time, it shall be light. And God began to move in that direction. He began to prepare men. And he began to prepare his crew. Prepare these songs for us. And a lot of other things. Began to set in operation that something was moving. Something's going to happen. Something's going to take place. And then, the time came. And we're all familiar with these dates. 1880, around that time, period of time. I don't like to just put the year on the thing. It's a period of time. But then God began to move in men's lives. Oh, God. Gifts of healings. Gifts of miracles. Amen. Began to be poured out upon men just like us folks. Just like us folks. And oh, God began to work, and souls were saved, and people came out of sectism and took a stand for truth and right. They went across the land in a foreign land, riding their wagons and riding their buggies and singing and praising God, and God working with them in a mighty way. In a mighty way. It kind of bum-puzzles me, if that's the proper word. Causing me to wonder, Lord, we have gotten to the place now that you read some of those things, and sometimes it's actually a question in your mind. Lord, help us today. And therefore, God called men and women just like us folk. And he began to move. It was a time of generation for another generation to move in. It was time. I know we're not living in that day. I'm going to get to that a little later. Hope we'll have some time here. But anyway, it went on and another generation rose. Brother Warner, all them fellows that we've heard so many times about. God working with them and manifested, and this truth was going all over the land. And it was sweeping the country. And God was working within and manifested Himself. And then, some of them, we know, fell by the wayside. But the truth went on. The truth went on. And now I want to get where we're at. Over here sits a brother that can remember some of those fellows. You can remember some of those. Oh, well, he's all dead. Some of those first reformers, you can still remember some of them, probably. And a few more here. Sister Clark's here. We're telling our age in different ones. But anyway, I hope you don't mind. Sister Catherine's here. And these are people that was before me. And they was personally acquainted with some of those reformers. Personally acquainted with them. They seen some of the things that happened in their ministry and their workings and the people of God at that period of time. And then another generation came along. Brother Pruitt, Brother Austin's dad, and different ones rose up. What did they do? They carried this thing right on. Right on. They didn't go with the compromise. They didn't let down. They didn't go to the world. They didn't change their way. They stayed with the truth and stayed with the Word. Stayed with God. And God stayed with them.
Amen.
God stayed with them. That's the generation that right after the Reformers' generation. That's another generation that came along. Brother Austin involved in that, and some of these elderly ones. They're involved in that age group, that generation. And then we come along, I don't know what God had in mind, but we lost the generation.
That's right.
And now, you that are here, 50 years old now, you're the generation. You're that other another generation. And now, you're in that spot. You're in that spot. I hope this will find lodging in every one of our hearts. You're in that spot. Where God is looking to you, and I'm going to prove that by the Word of God, that God is looking to you, even though you never saw Brother Warner. You never saw Brother Byron. You never seen those people. Folks from 50 years, I never seen them myself. But folks, I'm talking especially about that day. You can bury a few years either way if you want to. But they never saw that. They never seen them men. I was reading by Brother Byron just the other day. I got the gift of healing and so forth. How thousands of people were seen. Were healed. Blinded eyes were opened. Cripples were healed. Miracles were worked. I'll bear with me till I get through. And anyway, they went on and they did that. But you never saw them do that. You never seen them do it. Some of these fellow people here are still can remember that. But they remember it and they saw it with their own eyes. But they are about all gone. We can see that, can't we? I don't see hardly anybody, very few sitting around here that sit here 29 years ago. Or 30 years ago, the first time I was ever here. It's all brand new, almost generation. New crowd, almost. I know there's a few older ones here. But the greatest, I just wonder what percentage it would be. 70%? 75%? 80% maybe that wasn't here 30 years ago? So we see where we're at today. So now, this other generation that knew personally about how God worked and ministered through those even light reformers, if you want to call them that. You never saw that. They saw that. But now they're about all gone. And all you got is their word for it. And the books that's been written and so forth. So now you're put in a place like those people were put when the elders that were under Joshua passed off in the sea. You're in that spot. You're in that spot where it was when the immediate followers of the apostle died off. Now you, that generation that followed the apostles or the immediate followers of the apostles, the next generation, they never seen the apostles. They never seen Apostle Paul. They never seen Peter lay his hand on a blind person and wake it up. They never seen that with their eyes. They read about it. They heard about it. But they went out and they had never seen that. And because they hadn't seen that, it said they forgot God and went with the ways of the world. And same thing happened in the morning time. The same thing happened in the morning time. When the immediate followers of the apostles died off, it seemed, I'm not just putting right down to a month or year, but it seemed that's when the world went into the great apostasy after that. Because that generation that went into the apostasy, they had never seen Paul or Peter, or they had never seen Polycarp. They had never seen them fellows like that. All they had was their word. And therefore, they drifted in to the great apostasy and the great compromise that plunged the whole world into darkness. And it was that way for many, many years. But I'm glad God didn't leave it like that, aren't you? And now, another generation's come along. And now let me say here in Numbers, the third chapter, I want to show you what God's expecting out of you. I'm going to get to some more personal thoughts here. But it said now that these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. So the Lord chose a generation that had not known the wars of Canaan. They hadn't had personal contact, a relationship, never been in the real wars. But still, God chose them to carry this thing on. Even though they've never been in the wars of Canaan, they've never been over there and fought the battles of Jericho, they've never been over there and seen all those things, the battles in Canaan there, but still, and they had a generation had drifted away and things that they had forgotten God, but God came along, chosen another generation, even though they had never seen Joshua, they had never knew the elders that meeted after Joshua, and all they knew is what they'd heard about Joshua, or what they read about him, and about the elders. But then God came along, and he chose. And these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generation of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at least such as before knew nothing thereof. Brethren, you that are taken over, I want to give you a personal charge this morning. God chosen you to carry this thing on. You never seen Brother Warner. You never saw Brother Bob. You never seen Brother Austin's father, maybe. Yes, Brother Pruitt, some of you, you may have never seen them. But still, even though you haven't seen those things that happened in the morning time and in the beginning of the evening light, even though you did not see them with your natural eyes, you were not personally acquainted with those miracles and those great healings and those great manifestations of the power of God. You might not have never seen that. But God had chosen you that never seen it with your eyes, never personally knew about it, didn't know nobody that knew about it. You just got saved and brought up, and God is calling you now to not let what happened to Israel happen to us. Not let what happened to the followers of the apostles that caused the world to go into compromise and go into darkness. God is depending on you. You younger people I'm talking, like I said, middle age and so forth. God is depending on you, even though you was not personally acquainted with that, even though you know all you know about what you heard and what you've read about. But God is depending on you, you ministers, young ministers, and young ministers' wives, and young workers for God, and all the saints in general, to not let happen what happened in the third generation down through the history of time. We don't want that to happen, do we? No. Some have given their life for it. Some have died for it. Some are still dying for it. Some is laying their life down for it. And God help you to carry it on and hold it on and hold it up. And we're going to get some personal things in a minute. Lord help us. I was impressed that God would choose some people that hadn't seen in the wars of Canaan. They hadn't fought the battles of Jericho. They hadn't fought in the battles that were there. But they chose them anyway and said, I don't want to let this generation go down like that third generation did. I want this thing to be going. But listen to what he said. Let to prove Israel by them, even as many as Israel as had not known the wars of Canaan, to prove Israel. Lord, help us right here. You that are coming in and taking over and moving on and taking the church on, God help you this morning to be able to train the younger generation that's going to come after you, that this is a war. We're in a warfare. That's what we're in. We're in a conflict. We're in a battle. The powers of hell is all around. We're encompassed about. The camp of the saints is encompassed about on every side. There's pressure on every side. We know that, so if you don't feel that, I don't think you're in the battle. Never have I felt such power. Never have I felt such temptation. Never has it been so hard to get folks to an altar of prayer. Never has it been so hard to get somebody saved and settled in the truth. It's so hard to do that. That's the world we're living in. But God help this another generation to carry this thing and teach the younger ones to go to war, learn how to fight, learn how to resist, learn how to stand, learn how to stay true, learn how to consecrate.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Brother Chandler, many years ago, possibly maybe the last time he was here, I guess, I don't know, but he preached from this very pulpit, talking about that generation. That might have been the generation we lost, I don't know. But he said they have more ability now. They're better educated. They have better transportation. They have more things at hand to use. But he said, he was preaching on sacrifice, and he said, the one thing they haven't learned is how to sacrifice. That's why we lost a generation. Nice homes become more important than spirituality. Jobs and businesses and easy living became more important. I don't want my children to suffer what I had to suffer. I don't want them to do without what I had to do without. Lord, help us today. I'm glad I didn't have much to start with. Makes me appreciate what I've got now. Lord, help us this morning. We went through a generation that put so much emphasis on material things that the church suffered it. The minister suffered it. We got a whole crowd of ministers around here. But some of the camp meetings you go to, they don't have any heart.
That's right.
We lost some people out there now. Maybe some sitting here in your 50s somewhere or another. Maybe 60. But God could have used you a long time ago. You could have been a mighty man of God by this time. May the Lord help us. Teach them. Israel. As had not. Only that the generation of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at least such as before knew nothing thereof. And they were fourth verse, and they were to prove Israel by them. They were to prove these people, this generation that God chose, that had never knew the wars of Canaan, never knew Brother Warner, never knew Brother Byron, never knew Brother Riggle, never knew Brother Pruitt, never knew some of these older fellows. But God has called you now to take this thing on, even though you didn't know them personally. We still got the Word of God, don't we? And they were proved to prove Israel. It's up to you and I. It's up to the ministry. It's up to the saints. It's up to every one of us to prove to the world what we are. By the way we live. By the way we trust God. By the faith we have in God. I want to encourage you this morning. God will stand with you. You stay with God, God will stay with you. You trust God, God will see you through. You put yourself in God's hand, God won't let you down. He'll stand by you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Here I am. I'm in the midst of them. I'll help them, and that right early. Trust God. We've seen the great deliverance God gave us down in Louisiana. I've seen a person die with one of the most severe, probably, diseases you could almost get a hold of. I've seen her die, go away, and still God did not let her suffer. I've talked to different cancer patients that had died with breast cancer. Every one of them was 100 times worse than what my wife went through. God stood with us. And God will stand with you too. God will answer prayer. God will give grace. God will give courage. God will give power. God will see you through. And you can stand there and have the victory. Not after it's over, but have victory while it's going on. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He'll bring it to pass. He'll bring it to pass. Don't be afraid to launch out on God. Don't be afraid to put your body in God's hand. Don't be afraid to touch God for your healing. Don't be afraid to dedicate your life to God. God won't fail you. I know it's so. I know it's so. I know it's real. The worse off you get, the deeper the water, the hotter the fire, the more credit God is. Amen. I fought in some of them wars of Canaan. But God will be with you this morning. Now, he said here that they were to prove Israel to them. Brethren, this generation that's taken over, moving in. I don't say taking over, but God moving you in. But God is expecting us, or you, and me to help it all. I want to help. I want to help. I feel like I just want to be a helper from here on out. But I'll help you all I can. But listen, get a hold of this. And they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. This generation that had not known the wars of Canaan, had not known Joshua personally, had not been over there when the wars was going on, had not known the elders right after Joshua, but God chose them after a generation forsook God and let down and turned away from God. God come along and chose another generation and lifted them up and said, now I want you to prove to the world this thing's still real. Amen. May the Lord help us. Another generation. I want to say right here that we're not living in Brother Warner's time. We're not living in Brother Warner's time. We're not living in the 1800s. We're not living in the 1800s. We're living in 1991. And things are different. This is where I want to get down to. This is a new world. If somebody had been dead 40, 50 years and come back, they probably wouldn't recognize this world.
That's right.
One was in prison there in Vietnam for 7 years, and he came back, and it was a different world altogether. When he seen them walking down the street, the way people were dressed, and he seen the violence in the streets, and he seen the dope addicts and the robbers and the things that was going on, he said it was a new world. Just 7 years, he lost contact with the world. We're not living in that time. We're not, and we can't go back and ride the wagons and ride the mules. God don't want us to do that. Don't want us to do that. But we're entering in. It's already been mentioned in the meeting. A modern time. Modern time. More convenience. We got more convenience now than any generation ever had. And I'm not against that. I enjoy it. I enjoy the air conditioning. I enjoy it. I just saw it last night with those folks outside and that wonderful gospel message going forth. And some of us out there couldn't get it. They were out there by choice. But I thought it would've been pretty nice if we just had a nice big pavilion here where everybody come in inside and sit quiet and listen to that godly message last night. Nothing wrong with those things. There's nothing wrong with using the things that God has permitted us to have. The moderate travel. Get on an airplane. Fly to California before you can get your seat. One time I flew to Oklahoma City out there, and they had a hard time feeding us and picking up the plate. When they picked the plate up, they were going down. They didn't hardly have time to eat. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a wonderful blessing. That's a wonderful invention. That somebody has to make a hurried trip across country, that's wonderful. Somebody that's not able to travel in a car can just get on a plane and just soon be there. That's wonderful. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with automatic washers, microwaves. Nothing wrong with air-conditioned cars. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with comfortable meeting houses. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with having a few things like that. But oh, and I feel that this generation, we're living in a different age. I feel we need to make some changes. Lord, help me right here. And when I say change, I don't mean the teaching. I don't mean the doctrine. I mean our reproach to people. Our reproach to reach the people that's in the world today. We're not dealing with foreign boys. We're not dealing with good-born people a lot of times. We're dealing with people who come from broken homes. We're dealing with people who have been put out on the streets. We're dealing with mothers who are in trouble. We're dealing with people who are, they call street people. We're dealing with people outcast and downtrodden and troubled and confused and mixed up and don't know which way to turn and don't know what to do. That's the kind of a people that we need to be dealing with and looking to. And I don't know what the answer altogether is, but I believe it would be wise in this generation that we begin to change our approach to try to reach those folks that are down and out. Those folks that are in trouble. Don't have no children's home. We don't have very much going on down in the other side of town. Amen. We move out of that side of town. Lord help us. We need to do these things. We need to begin to realize, recognize the generation we're in, the time we're in, the condition the world's in, and how we need to get rid of some things and lay down some things and cut off some things, deny ourselves of some things, and begin to reach those people who are in trouble. Somebody talked to me a while back, and they said, "I'm not saved. Do you think I ought to go to camp meeting?" I said, "Lord, yes." I said, "The Church of God is a hospital. The Church of God, our congregation, ought to be a hospital. hospital for the sick, hospital for the down out, hospital for the sinner, for the backslider, for the widow, for the orphan, for the drunk, for the dope addict, for the outcast. It ought to be a hospital for those folks. Lord, help us. We need to begin to move out. I'm glad for the brethren that have this burden. I'm glad for those that I see that have a burden for this thing. And God help me. God help me not to get in the way. The Lord told me when we started our Christian school over home. I didn't agree with the Christian school. I thought God will take care of it. And God can take care of it. God can do anything. I know that. But I know that some of the young ones had a burden to not send their children to public school. They wanted a Christian school. They wanted their children, they wanted to have more control over their children's future, over their children's teaching. They wanted that. And I didn't go along with that altogether. But God spoke to me one day, and He said, I don't want you standing in the way. These young people's got a burden. Amen. Okay, Lord, if that's your will. I said, Lord, we can't support it. We are financially able. He said, you can give yourself. You make money, you can give. Amen. I've been giving ever since. I know I'm not making an issue out of this. I believe that the Christian school is a good avenue to reach our young people. May the Lord help us. I'll just put that in a little bit. All you know me know that I'm 100% for that. But anyway, leave it as it be. But we need to change our direction and reaching. Oh, this is wonderful to come to camp meeting. This is wonderful to sit together. And it's I urge our folks over home to go to camp meeting. They say, I can't afford it. I say, borrow the money. And I'm not a fellow who likes to borrow money. I don't like to see people borrow money and get in debt. But I say you borrow money for everything else. Why can't you borrow to go to camp meeting? I believe it's good to come to camp meeting. Get there together and fellowship together. Feel one another out. See how we're doing. See what the minister's got on their mind. See what the burden is. See what's going on. I think it's good to do that. But we need. Brother brought out in the meeting already that some wanted more freedom. Something another. Well, we can't be that generation. That third generation left now, we can't do that. But what I really want to say, as we move into this generation, and as we move out into new territories and new burdens, I want to tell you, saints, this morning, you cannot sit there in church and pray folks in. I've heard some things, and it's been a burden all along. Lord, help me too. People live right near the church that don't even know it's there. God help us this morning.
Amen.
If I sound a little critical, you bear with me. But I'm just saying this to help us to realize that we need, I'm going to say this, we need to change our motive of reaching people. We need to begin to reach out to those that are in trouble. We deal with people that are in great trouble. You that work at the altar, you know what I'm talking about. People have great stress, great strain, great financial problems, husband and wife problems, children, disobedient children problems, wayward children, broken homes, children living in double marriages, and all those kinds. This is an old heart-sick world we're dealing with. And we need to begin to change. And reach out. And like I said, we don't want to change. And I want to mention some things here. In our new way of doing things, and in our more modernistic world, and in our life, our more convenience and better education. I'm not against education, don't get me wrong. Better, I appreciate it. These younger brothers, the qualities I can see in them, the anointing I can see upon them. This is another burden. I can see that. And that's encouraging to me. That's encouraging to me. And then as I see, they're better equipped. Their minds are sharp. Maybe mine is getting a little dull. I know it is. But I can see good material there to use to the glory of God. But oh, in this modernistic time, in our reaching out and our endeavorment to deal with different people, we don't want to ever change the doctrines and teachings of God. I'd like to mention a few things that we want to be careful in your dealings in this time we're living in today, this generation. We don't want to ever forget that it's going to take a real born-again experience to start with. We need to tarry before God until we hit the rock. We need to do that. We don't want to ever say just take it by faith. We do take it by faith in a sense. But as the brother said last night, only godly humility and repentance will bring forth a real born-again experience. And God help us folks and this new generation, this another generation, that we don't ever ease up or lighten up a second definite work of grace in the heart. Amen. A baptism of the Holy Ghost. A real saved and sanctified experience. Amen. Don't ever settle for anything less than that. Because that's what caused the morning church. One of the main reasons they drifted into apostasy was that laying on hands to receive the Holy Ghost became a form. And the people didn't get to experience. And you wound up with a weak bunch of people. I'm going to tell you, you get a bunch of carnal people sitting around in the congregation, you're going to have some problems. You may have some with some sanctified folks too, but you'll have more within. So when that person truly, truly saved, I like to think the next operation is teach and preach and instruct and pray and work with that soul till you can get them filled with the Holy Ghost. You show me a sanctified congregation, I'll show you one that's working for God. That's got a burden for the work of the Lord. They're giving and they're doing and they're available and they're eager to help. They're eager to do. A lot of our problems. I read a little tract some time ago that carnality is a killer disease. Carnality is a killer disease. And that's the truth. You allow it to linger in your life, it'll kill you. It'll kill you spiritually. It'll cause you to lose out with God. When you come to the knowledge and understanding that God has more for you. So we don't want to ever, in all of our modernistic ways, and all of our reach outs, and all of our intellectual, and all of our wisdom, and all of our ability, and all of our modernistic things and comforts and outreaches and everything we do, we want to keep some real basic thing in perspective all the time. Sanctification. Holiness of heart. Holiness. Always holiness. Nothing but holiness. That's all God recognizes. Holiness.
Amen.
Holiness. Purity of heart. Holiness of heart. Purity. Oh, we've got to. In all of our preaching, all of our teaching, all of our modernistic things, all of our travels, all of our new churches, all of our new buildings, all of our modern homes, all of our ease, all of our nice cars, all of our doing, all of our meeting, all of our going, we've got to keep in mind that the only thing God recognizes is holiness. Holiness. Holy heart, holy life, holy mind, pure within, pure without, pure motive, pure desires. Keep thyself pure. Amen. He's purity. Live pure. Walk pure. Still ain't good for young people to crowd together in cars and sit on one another. For old people, either one. Not married. Keep yourself pure. Don't allow the devil, young folks, to get you out there parked in a car somewhere or another.
Not even hold hands.
Well, that said, not hold hands. Young ladies, keep yourself pure. Don't let that boy paw all over you. He tried to get all the hold of you and hold on to you. Best thing you knew, ditch that fellow. Amen. Young men, keep yourself pure. That girl that wants to cling to you, she wouldn't make a good wife anyway. Amen. Don't get quiet now. This is true. These are things that causes apostasy to set in. Oh, they say so-called little things. I've learned a lot in the furnace. A lot of things come in the fire. God did a lot of talking to me when I was burning like fire. When I couldn't talk, when I couldn't think, and when I was burning and itching. And I dreamed one night, I'll tell this to the Lord God, I dreamed one night that I was on a rotisserie, big open barbecue fire. And they had me stuck on that thing, and they was turning me over and over, over this hot, cold fire, roasting me. And I tell you, my friends, when I woke up, I was just as hot from head to toe as I'd have been, actually been happening. Burning. But oh God, I thank God for it.
Amen.
I thank God for those 2 months that I almost died, as they say. I almost lost my mind. I almost went berserk. But just before I did, I didn't. But oh, I learned, I know, Lord, I got a sick wife. And she's facing something rather bad. And here I am, can't help her, Lord. What about? Oh, but God, in the heated furnace, Father, let me stay. Precious gold of faith burns all the dross away. But oh, when God got through and I shed on my skin, I peeled off and my skin all come off and my everything. And oh, after it was over and God healed me, I felt so clean. And so pure. And my mind was so fresh. All the old church problems we'd been in for some time. All the old troubles of mind, weights and things that I've been facing. God just washed them every one away. I wondered, Lord, why did you permit that to happen? Because God knew I was facing something far greater than that. God knew that, and God prepared me for that. Isn't God good? Oh, another generation. You've got it on your hands. And let us never forget to hold the standard of purity. Don't want to lose that. Don't want to lose that. Lord, I'm not against using new methods to reach the unsaved. I'm not against that. And I believe we need to change some of our directions. I really do. And I believe we need to begin to go out more. I believe, I appreciate the, how the church down there in Oronda was exposed. I appreciate that. That's a wonderful thing that happened down there. God did that. That's wonderful. I guess the congregation down there, been down there for 60, 70 years, probably more knowing to more people now than ever before. God, that's wonderful. I believe we need to expose ourselves more. And we need to go out and begin to change some of our methods of doing things and reaching the people and all those things that we can do down in Skid Row, down on the other side of town, children's home, an outreach for those that are unwed mothers and dope addicts and drunks and alcoholics and deserted children. All of that, there's a great work to be done.
What are we doing? Let's be honest now. I know we're not living in Brother Warner's time. We're not expecting to go back to that time. I'm not expecting to go back there and ride buggies and horses and all those kind of things. But, I'm concerned about this third generation. That we stand right along with all the things we might do. There's some basic things that we must hold to. Some teachings of the church. Some teachings of the saints down through the ages of time that has helped this thing together that enables us to sit here and glorify God this morning. That's been because there was a people that believed in holiness. They believed in holy living. They believed in purity. They believed in simplicity. Amen. Don't ever lose us. Don't get moderate. We can use moderate methods. I'm not against that. But let's don't ever realize that this gospel is a simple gospel. Paul said something about the simplicity of the gospel. Simple truth. Simple godly living. Simple obedience. Yielding. Humble. Walking. With God.
Amen. Nothing won't replace that. I don't care what you do to try to reach people. If you lose these things, you don't have anything to offer. You may have more intellect. You may have more education. You may be able to go out and can speak good. You may be able to have better cars, national churches, and all those kind of things. But if you lose these basic things, you ain't got nothing to offer. Oh yes, we believe in the doctrines of the church. We believe in unity. That's good. We believe in holiness. We believe in sanctification. We believe in baptism. We believe in worshiping. And that's all necessary. But there's a few basic things that holds all this together. And these are the things that I'm concerned that we don't lose. Simplicity. Simplicity. Going about it. Even though I'm dealing with higher-ups, I'm dealing with the world, I'm dealing with men of education, I'm still going to have to be that humble, simple, do it in simplicity and honesty. Oh, we must be honest. We must be honest in all of our dealings. Honesty, simplicity, purity, holiness. These things are the very basics of all that we believe, all that we stand for. And when we lose that, then we'll go into apostasy too. We will wind up as a form too. Amen. Amen. Simplicity. Oh, and I've been wearing this word out, being very sensitive. Very sensitive. I looked for a long time to find a word that fills my thoughts, my burden. And this is it. Being very sensitive to the things of God. Very careful in my conduct. Very sensitive that somebody's watching me. Very sensitive that somebody's marking me. They're looking at my conversation. They're observing my actions. And oh, I know the Lord. This was one of my wife's admonishment to me over the years. When she'd see me beginning to get a little careless, a little loose, a little foolish, a little too jokey, or a little careless in my prayers, a little careless in my studies, she'd say, "Honey, you better be careful. You better be careful.
thank God for a life like I have.
But isn't it? No, it isn't. But isn't it wonderful that God would come along and you take her away and then turn around and tell me, you be very careful.
Now nobody won't ever have to tell me that anymore. It's registered up there for good. And I'm endeavoring to be as careful as I know how to be. Very sensitive about our appearance. Lord help us. This is something that other generations had. And we don't want to lose that. I remember dear old Sister Abbott one time years ago. Got up here in this pulpit and she preached. And she, after she had preached, some sister went to her and told her that her blouse was on the pin. That she could see her underclothes under her blouse. Do you know what Sister Abby done? She came back and got right up before this whole house and asked forgiveness for doing that. Very sensitive about it.
Amen.
Very sensitive about our appearance.
Listen! You say, I don't mean it. Yes, it does. Because if we lose our sensitivity to the touch of God, to the touch of God's hand.
Years ago, I was on these grounds here. I had a certain pair of slacks, or whatever you want to call them. And they were so comfortable. And I'm a fellow that I'm bad for that. I get something that feels good, I just wear it out. Clean it and wear it again. Clean it and wear it again. And so I wore these too long. Brother Allen, Brother Mercury, one day he approached right on his ground. He said, Brother Sammons, he says, what pants you got in? The seat of them getting awful thin. I wonder how many of us would notice that today.
God help us. Very, is this too strong? Very, very sensitive.
I said, thank you, Brother Allen. I went and throwed them things away. Throwed them away. They were no more. Very sensitive. May God help us today. Very sensitive about our modesty. Our dress. Lord help us. Oh, that don't mean that. Yes, it means everything. It means everything.
Brother C.E. Orr said one time, when you get to the Word, the so-called little things don't affect you. You're already in trouble. And I believe that's so. Because if you're not sensitive about your appearance, and you're not sensitive about your words, and about your action, and about the way you conduct yourself, then you're not going to be very careful about the other things either. You're going to become a careless person. And you're going to become a little blurry-eyed. And you're going to be able to look in the mirror. And you're going to say, I don't look too bad. I don't look too bad.
Oh, my precious wife. You folks just well to get used to hearing about her, because as long as I'm around, you'll be hearing about her. But she was so careful. Sometimes she had a weight problem. She'd go up and down a lot, like a lot of people do. That's a problem, I know. But when she'd get a little weight on, she'd feel her dresses getting a little short. And she'd pray to fund me. She said, honey, is this too short? Is this too short? Very sensitive about it. We don't want to lose these things, see?
This is what causes people to go into apostasy. This is why they lost power with God. It wasn't because that they let down so much on the teaching. There's many groups of people today that are preaching the Church of God. I've heard people preach a message on the Church of God just as much as you and I would have preached it right here.
That's true.
And I've heard people preach the feet washing and Lord's Supper and sanctification and divine healing. I've heard them teach it. I've heard them preach it.
But they don't live like this. They're very careless in their mannerisms. They're very loose in their morals. Lust has an awful power on them. They've lost. Many of them have lost this sensitivity of being so easily touched by the Spirit of God. So easily. Yes, Lord. I hear. Speak, Lord. Oh, this is my burden that this generation hold to these. Hold to the basic doctrines, sure. But don't let these get away. These are the things that hold it together. These are the things that make it what it is. When you lose this, then there's only one other way to do it. Fall into the form. When you lose the anointing, when you lose the intimacy of the Spirit of God, when the service is not directed by the Spirit of God, when the minister is not anointed of the Spirit of God, then there's only one recourse. Fall into a form. When you can't be led of the Spirit no more, you've got to do something to entertain the people. That's why they turned back to their music in their churches. That's why the gospel trip had done that. That's why they charged for their meals at camp meetings. Amen. They lost that real sensitive things of God. That's so touchy. Yeah, you say, well, we're not supposed to be touchy. Yes, we are. We're not supposed to be offended easily. But I want to live to the place where I don't want to be able to speak to somebody harshly and not feel bad about it. Do you? Some folks will just give you a piece of their mind and don't even feel bad about it.
That's right.
I don't want to be like that, do you? Oh, no. I want my heart to be soft. I want it to be tender. I want it to be pure. I want it to be holy. I want it to be clean. Till I can feel the very impressions of the Lord. Oh God, my prayer every morning, Lord, guide my steps and hold my hand. I need you today, Lord. And I want to tell you something else. When it gets real bad, when things get real bad, these little things that you don't consider very important, they become real, real important. If you've been living a loose life, you won't have no faith.
Amen.
You've been dabbling in the world, you won't have no much faith. If you've been criticizing the saints, you won't have no faith. You've been criticized and criticizing the ministry, you won't have nothing to stand on. We need to watch our tongue. Oh, gossip. Running off at both ends. Oh, that's terrible, isn't it? God, sanctify our tongues this morning. Sanctify our ears. And sanctify our eyes. That we can be whole. I don't know. I was thinking this morning, hope I didn't get in anybody's way, but if I was going to preach a farewell message, this would be what I'd want to preach to me. And this might be a farewell message, I don't know. I know as well as I'm here, if God tarries, it's coming. 1 year I'm not going to show up here. And they'll say, you remember that old fellow that used to be here? He ain't here no more. He's gone to heaven. Praise God. I told somebody the other day, I used to say I'd rather be here than any place I know of. Well, I like to be here. But lately, I've changed. There's another place I'd rather be this morning. I'd like to be up there with all those going on before. It don't make a bit of difference to me. I'd just sooner go today as I would tomorrow. It don't make no difference to me at all. Praise God. Very sensitive. Sensitive. Plain. Plain. Oh, let's don't change. The saints have fallen. but plain in their mannerism. We know we emphasize the dress a lot, have been, but I don't think we've been emphasizing too much lately.
Amen.
We don't want to lose that. Yes, long sleeves is still, there's a reason for those things. There's a reason for those things. Because if you cut them off a little bit, pretty soon you won't have any.
That's right.
Still important how you make your clothes. It's still important.
Yeah.
Don't lose that. I'm going to put some people on the spot right here. Maybe I shouldn't do that. Oh, I want to speak a minute to the young minister's wives. It's not good to point out special people, is it? But I will, if you'll permit me. Oh, what a duty. What a responsibility you have. Over at our camp meeting, we had three young sisters that got up, three young minister sisters, wives, got up and sung a song. I said, oh Lord, what a place those sisters are in. Do they really know where they're at? Do they really know the responsibility that they have to be a minister's wife? Oh God, I wouldn't be here today if it hadn't been for my wife. Probably wouldn't be here today. And I'm going to say this, a minister, if he's got a saved companion, his ministry is not going to be much more effectual than what that wife is. She can make him, say amen now.
Amen.
She can make him or she can break him. She can preach louder than he can. When I first went to West Virginia, we was having service in an old schoolhouse down there, and that's where we first kind of started out. And I was in there, and I was just preaching away and hard as I could preach, and used to preach wearing myself out a lot, and I found out all that demonstrating, and it hardly, well, I'm too old for that anyway. But anyway, I found out later that some of those women folks that were there wasn't even paying no attention to me. They was looking at my wife sitting over there. They were looking at her appearance, looking at her godly countenance, looking at her hair fixed the way it was, and looking at her modest clothes. And she sat there and preached more than I preached. They told me later on, I don't remember a thing you said, Mark. The Lord help us. This is this generation. Let's keep this. Let's don't lose this. Listen, dummy. In all your modernistic way, in all your modern inventions, and I'm not saying that some of them can't be used, to the glory of God, but we want to hold to these basics. Modesty. Address, simplicity of mind, humbleness of heart, purity, godly living. That's the whole basis of this thing. Isn't it? God bless us this morning.
Amen. Brother Cameron.
Amen.
I was thinking and talking about the sisters that have to minister to husbands. That's a duty too for the brethren that got sister
ministry. Amen. Appreciate that, Brother Ed. We're prone to leave our sisters out sometimes. We don't mean to. But many times the Lord talks to man, he's talking to mankind. But if you've got a wife that feels a call to minister, I feel for you. Lord bless you this morning. You'd have to be a special kind of a man, seem to me like. But God can help you to be that kind of a person. Let's keep it. Very sensitive. Walk by that mirror. Look at yourself. Brother Clifford Wilson gave the best illustration I ever seen about modesty appearance. He said, if you want to check yourself out, see if you're dressed modest, Sit down in a chair and get a mirror and sit over there in front of you. And then consider that Jesus is that mirror. He's sitting there where that mirror is. And let him look at you. See how you look. Simplicity. Meekness. Quietness. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. We don't want to get too far out. But it is important how, what your appearance is. It's real important. Real important. It's one of the very basics of what we believe and what we stand for. And I have written down here, these, if we lose these, we fall into a form.
That's true.
Now you think about that. If we lose the teachings of purity, pure in our relationship, pure in our courtships, pure in our dealings with opposite sex, pure in our conversation. Very, what did the Bible, Isaiah said one time, they couldn't blush. People are so, the world is so bold, aren't they? They're so bold. They just prayed out without any clothes on at all. Pardon me. And don't seem to feel bad about it at all. Don't you know a little leaven leavens the whole lot? Don't you know that a little slumber and a little sleep, a little fold in the hands, so shall your poverty be? Don't you know that it kills spirituality? Don't you know foolishness, talking, jesting, and joking? Don't you know that it kills spirituality? Don't you know you can sit in a good anointed service and somebody get up and make a little out of color remark can kill the spirit of that whole meeting? Don't you know that God is a tender spirit? Don't you know that God, as we preached somewhere lately, that God is touched with the feelings of our feelings? God is so sensitive to our needs. He's so available when we need Him. His eyes are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. He's so alert. He's so on the job. He's so listening to what we want. Well, then wouldn't it be natural He'd require us to live to where He could get in touch with us? How many times have you had an opportunity to witness for God and you didn't do it? And you went down the road a little way and you thought, well, why didn't I take advantage of that opportunity? Why did I tell them about the Lord? Why did I tell them about God? I'll tell you why. Most of the time, our minds wasn't on it. Our minds wasn't on what we were doing. Very sensitive. If we lose these things, we fall into a form. And I have something here. The law of holiness never changed. Never changed. That's one thing the church has went through many periods of time. Many generations have come and gone by. And many different teachings rise up from time to time. But the law of holiness never changes. Never changes. Godliness never changes. Purity never changes. Plainness, simplicity, modesty. God help us this morning. Well, I feel that's about all I have to say. But I hope that you got this message. And I hope that it will be something, not because I've said it, but because God gave it to me. Oh, let's forget about those little old things. That don't mean anything. Let's go out and get some souls saved. If you leave these things off, you're going to get some souls deceived. Because you leave this out, you ain't got no message. Because this is the message of Christ. This is the life He's requiring, what He expects out of every one of us this morning. All right? There's another generation. Brother, I commit it to you. I'm going to be around a little while, maybe. And I desire your prayers, but I'll be faithful to the end. And I want to request that you put up with me and let me stay around with you. Because I don't have anybody else on the world now but you. So bear with me. I appreciate all of you this morning. This is my life. This is my life. I put 34 years in on it. And I want to see it going. I want to see it going. Keep these things. Don't be afraid to name them out. The devil would like to put us ministers in a bond and say this. Don't do this or that. I feel a little drawback from that. I know what you're going through. It's easier to say don't do this or don't do that than it is to say don't wear that. Don't talk like that. Don't act like that. That tells you what it is, don't it? May the Lord bless us this morning. Another generation. I see it before me. I see it before me. And if I don't ever come back, I'm not trying to draw self-pity here, and I don't want that. I don't want you folks feeling sorry for me. I appreciate your concern, your prayers, but I don't need self-pity right now. I'm making it. God's helping me. But I do want you to pray for me. Another generation. Brother Austin, you won't be around here much longer. Sister Eck, God bless your heart, please. I say, they'll miss you. I about say we, but I may go for you. Who do you call? Who do you call when you get in trouble? Well, we call the saints. But I mean when you get really... Do you want that one that you feel like is living the very closest to the Lord?
That's right.
That's the one you wanted. That one that you've watched their life. That one that you can depend on. They was there last year. They was there 10 years ago. They was there 20 years ago, and they're still there. And they haven't changed.
Amen.
I tell you, Sister Catherine, I get in trouble. See, her phone starts ringing. I got a lot of confidence, Sister Catherine. Her prayer, not only just her, I just named her out. But who do you call? I mean, when you're really desperate, you call that one that you feel like has been living the way I've been trying to preach here this morning. A godly, careful, sensitive, plain, down-to-earth, humble life. That's the kind of person you want. I want to pray for me. May the Lord bless you.